ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट 44 This chapter is entitled as Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text 44. Itham bhavena kathito bhagavan bhagavattamaha netham bhavena hi param drashtum arhanti surayah itthaṁ bhāvena kathito bhagavān bhagavattamaha netthaṁ bhāvena hi param drashtum arhanti sūrayah itthaṁ bhāvena kathito bhagavān bhagavattamaha netthaṁ bhāvena hi param drashtum arhanti sūrayah itthaṁ bhāvena kathito bhagavān bhagavattamaha netthaṁ bhāvena hi param drashtum arhanti sūrayah How many of you have memorized it already? Just one, two. Okay.
Ittam bhavena kathita.
Ittam bhavena kathita.
Bhagavan bhagavattama.
Bhagavan bhagavattama.
Ittam bhavena hi param.
Ittam bhavena hi param.
Drashtum arhanti suraya.
Drashtum arhanti suraya.
Okay.
Ittam bhavena ittam bhavena kathita
ittam bhavena kathita
bhagavan bhagavattamah
bhagavan bhagavattamah
nittam bhavena hi param
nittam bhavena hi param
drashtum arhanti suraya
drashtum arhanti suraya
How many of you memorized it by now? Okay, Matajis. Board dekhi.
Ittam bhavena kathito.
Ittam bhavena kathito.
Bhagavan bhagavattamah.
Bhagavan bhagavattamah.
Nityam bhavena hi param.
Nityam bhavena hi param.
Itham, in these features,
bhavena,
the matter of creation and destruction,
kathitaha,
described,
bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead, bhagavattamaha, by the great transcendentalists, na, not, Ittham,
in this,
Bhavena, features,
he
only, Param,
most glorious,
Drashtum, to see,
Arhanti,
deserve,
Surayaha,
great devotees. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The great transcendentalist thus described the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the pure devotees deserve to see more glorious things in transcendence beyond these features. Okay, please repeat after me. The great personalist.
The great transcendentalist.
Does describe the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the pure devotees
deserve to see more glorious things
in transcendence
beyond these features.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is not only the creator and destroyer of the material manifestations of His different energies. He is more than a simple creator and destroyer, for there is His feature of ananda, or His pleasure feature. The pleasure feature of the Lord is understood by the pure devotees only, and not by others. The impersonalist is satisfied simply by understanding the all-pervasive influence of the Lord. This is called Brahman realization. Greater than the impersonalist is the mystic who sees the Lord situated in his heart as Paramatma, the partial representation of the Lord. But there are pure devotees who take part in the direct pleasure, ananda potency of the Lord, by factual reciprocation of loving service. The Lord in His abode, called the Vaikuntha planets, which are eternal manifestations, always remain with His associates and enjoys transcendental loving services by His pure devotees in different transcendental humors. The pure devotees of the Lord thus undergo a practice of that devotional service to the Lord during the manifestation of the creation and take full advantage of the manifestation by qualifying themselves to enter into the kingdom of God. The Bhagavad Gita 18:55 confirms this. Bhakta mam abhijanati javan jaschashmi tattvatah tato mang tattato gyatva bishate tad anantaram. By development of pure devotional service, one can factually know the Lord as He is and thus be trained in the bona fide service of the Lord and be allowed to enter into the direct association of the Lord in so many capacities. The highest glorious association with the Lord is made possible in the planet of Golok Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna enjoys Himself with the gopis and His favorite animals, the Suravi cows. A description of this transcendental land of Krishna is given in the Brahma Samhita, which is considered by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the most authentic literature in this connection. Ittham bhavena kathito bhagavan bhagavat tamaha netthang bhavena hi param drashtum arhanti surayah. The great transcendentalist thus describes the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the pure devotees deserve to see more glorious things in transcendence beyond these features. So, this chapter so far had been describing the Lord as the Supreme Creator, the Supreme Maintainer, and the Supreme Destroyer. In the last verse, it has been described how He is the destroyer. How does the Lord destroy? he destroys in the form of Rudra. Rudra is the destructive aspect of the Lord. Creation is done by Lord Brahma. Maintenance is done by the Lord himself in his Vishnu form. And Rudra, in the Rudra form, he destroys everything. So, in this context, we can also consider that the Lord, in his maintaining aspect, displays his real identity. An example can be given, like when you want to build a house, what do you do? When you want to build a house, do you build it yourself?
No.
Who builds it? You get a contractor to build that house. And after the house is completed, then what happens? Then does the contractor live in that house? Who lives in that house? The owner lives in that house. And who maintains the house? The owner maintains the house. Right? And then after that, when the house becomes old, then what is needed to be done? When the house is old, demolish the house. Now who does the demolishing? Does the owner do the demolishing? He calls the demolition department and they come and demolish the house. So from this we can understand who is the real proprietor. Is the creator the real proprietor? No. Is the contractor the real proprietor? No. Although he builds in the order, according to the order of the owner of the house. And then the owner lives in that house, and because while he is leaving, he also maintains the house. He takes care of all the maintenance. If there is some repairs to be done, he gets it done. At the end of the month when the bill comes, who pays the bill? The owner pays the bill. And then when the house becomes too old and he needs to build another house, it's become too old, then he calls the demolition department and he destroys. So from this we can understand, like Lord Brahma is doing the creation, Vishnu is doing the maintenance, and Lord Shiva is doing the destruction. Now tell me, who is the owner of this material nature? Vishnu. The one who maintains, he is the real owner. But there is another consideration. The maintenance, the creation and destruction is also done by the Lord's expansions in the form of Gunavatar. The creation takes place in the mode of, in which mode the creation takes place? The mode of passion. Any creation actually needs a lot of passion, lot of force, lot of movement, lot of energy to create. So that energy is the mode of passion. So that passion, in the nature, there are three modes. The mode of passion, mode of goodness, mode of ignorance. Now, in the mode of passion, creation takes place. In the mode of goodness, the maintenance takes place. And in the mode of ignorance, the destruction takes place. So, the maintenance aspect, the mode of goodness, is retained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He is in the mode of goodness. But creation is done in the mode of passion. Therefore, he empowers somebody to create. Who is that personality who creates? And how does he create? He creates by being empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then at the end, when it has to be destroyed, the destruction takes place in the mode of ignorance. And there also the Lord empowers Lord Shiva to do that job. Therefore, these three incarnations of the Lord are known as gunavatars. Three modes, the controllers of the three different modes. Vishnu is the controller of the mode of goodness. Brahma is the controller of the mode of passion. And Lord Shiva is the controller of the mode of ignorance. So these three are the gunavatars. But here it has been... Now, what was described in the previous chapter? Who remembers? What was the theme of the previous chapter? Yes, and just before that? Chatushloki. Chatushloki. The four essential verses that are the sum and substance, or that is the very crux of Srimad Bhagavatam. These four verses have been expanded into this entire Srimad Bhagavatam and scriptures that are related to Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the first consideration, first verse of this fourth Chatushloki? Aham evasam evagre nanna jat. Okay. So what does this actually mean? Govinda, do you remember this verse? Used to remember the Chatushloki. Once I made Govinda in a program to recite the Chatushloki, and the audience was so impressed that here is a European gentleman. He is reciting Chatushloki. So stay in touch. Memorizing requires brushing it up from time to time. So what is the meaning of this particular verse? Agre means before. Right? Before. Aham evasam evagre. I was there before. Before what? Nanna jat sat asat param. Before the sat and asat, the causal and effectual manifestation became manifested, I was there. And paschadaham jadetachya. And after the thing is annihilated, then also paschad aham. I will continue to exist even after annihilation. So the Lord is there before the creation, and He will continue to be there even after the annihilation. Now here we just came across the description of creation, maintenance and annihilation. Now does this creation, maintenance, annihilation really matter to the Lord so much? It's only just external feature. Like, can we understand a king from the prison house? The prison where the place that king has created for the criminals. Is the king very much involved with the prison? No. He doesn't even directly deal with the prison. For maintaining the prison, to take care of the affairs of the prison, he has other people, his employees. So similarly, this material nature, which is actually a prison house, the Lord is not directly involved with the affairs of this prison house. Yet, sometimes he comes, the king sometimes may go to the prison. Generally, the king is not involved with the prison, but he may go to the prison sometime to see how the prisoners are doing, or to see how the prisoners can be taught to get out of the prison house. Or if there is a big revolution in the prison house, then the king may go there to kind of subdue that revolution. Sometimes it happens in the prison houses. In America, often we hear There was a big fight between the prisoners and the prison keepers, the police. Sometimes they beat up the police and take over the prison. When that happens, then what happens? When that happens, then the king sends his special force to take care of those criminals. So similarly, the Lord comes to the material nature to take care of these revolting prisoners when they become too much, when they become too difficult to control. Then he comes and he takes care of them. And when he comes, those who love him, what happens to them? When the king comes to the prison, the general, the king doesn't come to the prison, but when the people, those who love the king, those who are very fond of the king, what happens? They become excited. Oh, the king has come. And they try to serve him and associate with him. The Lord also does that. And he does that, paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam. Duskritam, what's the meaning of the word duskritam? Duskritam means the troublemakers. The troublemakers. Bad people. Du means bad. And krita means doers, evil doers. Those who are troublemakers, evil doers, miscreants. Miscreants. Mis means wrong. Creants is action. Those who are involved in wrong actions, the Lord comes and takes care of them. Vinashayacha. Annihilates them. And he maintains paritranaya sadhunam. Those who are dear to him, sadhus, those who believe in him, those who love him, the Lord protects them by appearing. So similarly, when a situation gets difficult, the Lord comes to rectify the situation and protect his devotees. So this is the affairs of the material nature where the Lord is not generally involved. He is not so much concerned about the affairs of the material nature. He is not directly involved in them. He indirectly does that. But beyond this material nature, he is there. Now the question is, what does he do? He is there. Aham evasam evagre. Fine, Lord is there. But what does he do? Is he just standing there? Aham evasam evagre? In a spiritual sky? Is he just standing there? Inert and non-moving? No. He is full of activities. The spiritual sky, unlike material nature, is full of activities of movement. This material nature is inert. Because of the living forces here, that's why the material nature has some movement. If there's nobody, like for example in this room, now so much is happening. You all are sitting, I'm speaking and so forth. But when none of us will be there, what will happen? When we are here, when we are trying to say today we are going to organize a program, so much action is going on. Like last night, I couldn't sleep. There's so much action is going on. They are putting up the pandal here. And where is Lakshminath? Thanks to Lakshminath, he's busy there. But one thing nice, I wanted to see what was happening. At 12:15 last night I went there. And I found that Lakshminath is there, taking care. And I couldn't sleep, so I was just working. And I was there till 1:30, and Lakshminath was there. This morning I asked him when he left, until what time he was there. He said about 2:00 he was there. So lots of activities are going on because there are the tent walas and Lakshminath. so much action was going on. But in other nights, what happens? Is there any action? When nobody is there, there is no action. When the living entities are there in the material nature becomes active. When the living entities are not there, the material nature becomes inert, inactive. Like if when we are, say, in order to have the class, sometimes I see they're shifting the furniture. They make all kinds of arrangements. Then who writes the verses on the board? Oh, Suchandrak then comes and she writes on the board. So much activities are going on. The movement is going on. But when nobody is here, there won't be any movement. Will this table move by itself? No. It needs somebody to move. Will our body move by itself? Somebody moves this body. Who is that somebody that moves the body? The soul. So in this way, due to the presence of the soul, there is movement in this material nature. Otherwise, the material nature is non-moving. Now the souls come here and make this material nature move, which is otherwise inert. Then can you imagine what the spiritual nature will be like? In the spiritual nature, when the souls come in the material nature, they make this inert material nature move. So what to speak of the spiritual nature? The living entities in the spiritual nature, what are they doing? Are they sitting idle at any moment? No, they're always moving. Therefore, the spiritual nature is called Braj. The topmost region of the spiritual nature is Braj. Braj means, Braja means to move. Nahi Brajati Jatrapi Nimeshardha Khoba Brajati Jatrapi Samaya. There, everything is moving. The only thing that doesn't move there is time. And here, everything is inert. The only thing that makes everything move is time. That's the difference between material nature and the spiritual nature. Here, time is making everything move. Sakalene hamahata. By the movement of time. Whereas in spiritual nature, everything is braja, dynamic, ecstatic. That Prabhupada actually got a very beautiful, derived a very beautiful connotation out of the word ecstatic. Static means what? Static means in rest, right? Non-moving. And ecstatic means extra static. That extra static is what? Is spiritual movement. When we become joyful, how do we feel? An expression of joy, how is it described? When the heart tries to leap out of the body. When the heart tries to leap out of the limitation of the body, that is ecstasy. Isn't it? Joy, ecstasy, bliss, ananda. Is that move, that inconceivable movement? Like for example, when one becomes ecstatic, what does he do? Does he sit down and go to sleep? When one is ecstatic, does he go to sleep? No, when one is ecstatic, what happens? You come to a temple in the evening, you will see. What happens?
Dance.
So more ecstatic you are, the more you become dynamic. You begin to dance. Dance, actually, what is the definition of dance? When the joy of the heart wants to give its expression through the body, that is called dance. And the joy of the heart wants to give its expression through the body. That is that. So, and now, mind you, now what is the spiritual sky? In spiritual sky, movement is not just movement. In spiritual sky, every movement is dance. And in spiritual sky, the words are not just words. They don't speak. They sing. Kathaganam natyam gamanam api. Movement, gaman, is natyam. So that is the spiritual sky. So now, if that is the nature of the spiritual sky, what the Lord is doing in the spiritual sky? So He is aham eva sam eva agre, but what's He doing? Yes, Premalila, you are saying something? Say it loud so that everybody can hear. Why do you want to share it only with Radharani? Chanting and dancing. Yeah. So in the spiritual sky, everyone is chanting and dancing around the Lord. And the Lord is also chanting and dancing. He is playing His flute and He makes everybody dance. So that is the spiritual sky. Now, a devotee of the Lord, who is a real devotee of the Lord, who has a deeper understanding, deeper relationship, loving relationship with the Lord, will he be so much interested about just creation, maintenance and destruction? Will he be so much interested about that? No. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying that the pure devotees deserve to see more glorious things in transcendence beyond these features. What are these features? These features are the aspect of the Lord in relation to creation, maintenance and destruction of the material nature. There they want to have a loving exchange with the Lord. There they want to be with the Lord and hear about the Lord's wonderful pastimes. The point here is that those who have developed a deeper relationship with the Lord, they would like to hear about more glorious activities of the Lord, not just maintenance and creation. Like somebody who is very fond of the king and very closely associated with the king, will you be so much interested about what the king went and subdued, did in the prison house? Is he interested about how he built the prison? How he is maintaining the prison? Like how many of us actually worry about the prison? I mean, in Ujjain there is a prison house. But do we worry about the prison house? The only person who does that is Ganga Narayan. Because every week he has to send the prasadam and the party to distribute prasad to the prisoners. But otherwise, devotees are not so much concerned about the prison house. Similarly, in the material nature, devotees are not so much concerned about what the Lord does in the material nature. But yes, they want to hear when the Lord comes to the material nature, what He did. Not creation and maintenance. But the Lord manifests His wonderful pastimes so that His devotees can get to see, hear about the pastimes and develop their attachment to Him and go back to the spiritual sky. And those most glorious activities, of all His activities, the most glorious ones are His activities in Golok Vrindavan. And that Golok Vrindavan pastimes are revealed only once in a day of Brahma in Vrindavan, in Bhoma Vrindavan. In earth also there is one place called Vrindavan. And that place is the extension of Golok. Just like in Delhi there is an embassy of America, United States of America. Like it is in Delhi, but in that place everything is American. in the embassy. There, although it is in India, in India, in Delhi, but that place is not Delhi, that place is not part of India. You know what that place is? That place is America. Once you step in there, you are inside America. Like, for example, if a criminal goes into the US embassy in Delhi and takes shelter, and US government, if they give him shelter, Indian government cannot go and arrest him. Because now he is not under the jurisdiction of Indian government. They are under US government. Sometimes it happens, like sometimes some police or some agents, they go and it happened, they killed a criminal inside some African embassy. And there was a big hue and cry. Like, why did the US agents came and killed that criminal? Although he's a criminal, doesn't matter, but why did you kill him without taking our permission? You did it in our country. So this is how the embassy is. It's an extension of that country. So similarly, Vrindavan is an extension of the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan. And at that place, the Lord comes once in a day of Brahma. That's a long, long time. 1,000 Chaturyugam is a day of Brahma, and the same is the duration of Brahma's night. So 2,000 Chaturyuga, which means 8.64 billion years. Once in 1.64 billion years, Krishna comes to reveal his Vrindavan pastimes. And in the following Kali Yuga, Krishna appears in the Dwapar Yuga, and in the following Kali Yuga, he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Appearing there, Krishna reveals his Vrindavan pastimes, and then in the following Kali Yuga, appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what does he do? He shows everybody how to enter into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Now you saw Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, now how are you going to go there? How are you going to enter into that pastimes? That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to provide the facility to enter into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. And this is the Kali Yuga when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And this is the Kali Yuga when we have taken birth, and by taking birth, what we are? We have some very special prerogative, very special advantage. What is that very special advantage? Yes, we, by appearing in this age, we can take advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. The thing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed. And by acting according to Mahaprabhu's teachings, what will be the benefit? The benefit will be, we'll be able to enter into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. And Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes are the topmost activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky. Isn't it a wonderful benefit, wonderful opportunity? So what are you all going to do about that? You got this opportunity now, what will you do? Will you take advantage of this opportunity?
Yes.
Or squander this opportunity? Who wants to squander this opportunity? Is there anybody who wants to squander this opportunity? No. Who wants to take advantage of this opportunity? Please raise your hands. Okay. Okay. Now those who are really serious, raise both of your hands. Like Kartik. Okay, and say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare. Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
So please take advantage of this wonderful opportunity and derive the most wonderful benefit that anybody can ever derive. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Radharani.
When we try to render service to Shiva Prasad to Krishna, she's very, very strict. She doesn't tolerate any defect in service or any mistakes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came with Radharani's mood, is so merciful that he even goes and collects those who don't qualify and gives them this love of Krishna. So I'm trying to understand how can that.
Yes, when it comes to serving Krishna, Radharani is very, very strict. She doesn't want to tolerate any defect in that service. But when Radharani is in separation from Krishna, and then if she hears that somebody is chanting Krishna's glory, she becomes extremely pleased. She becomes extremely affected by that. So this mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharani in separation from Krishna. That's why she is and he is exceptionally merciful. So you just chant Krishna's glory, she'll say, come, you're very dear to me. I will allow, I'll tell Krishna to bestow his mercy upon you. And especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So here is the supreme controller and in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Exceptionally merciful mood, and he is the supreme controller. So he says, okay, come. All you need is just chant the holy name of the Lord.
The devotees of the Lord, just as you said that we are interested to hear the pastimes of the Lord, because the activities of pure devotees are also activities of Krishna's pastimes. So we see that in ISKCON many devotees, they might chant and all, but they might not have developed their relationship with pure devotees. So my question is, how do we develop the eagerness to, serve and to associate with pure devotees and to hear about them?
The best way to associate with pure devotees is by following the instructions. Follow the instructions. Because it's the instruction that really matters. Physical closeness is not important. When you are sleeping at night, the bed bug may be very close to you. But is it really close to you? It simply creates disturbance to you. Although he is very close, in a very close proximity to your body, but what's it doing? Or a mosquito. Very close to your body. Right? But what's it doing? It's simply causing disturbance to you. So when you're associating with the devotees, we have to see that we are serving them, we're pleasing them, not disturbing them. Because disturbance, you see, and that's why in this consideration of association, the physical the following the instructions, following the vani is more important than the physical association. association, physical association, which is called Vapu association, is not so important. But what is important is the Vani association. Vani means instruction, following his instruction.
The transcendentalists are interested in material creation of the Lord, but those should have pure devotees. But the ISKCON, we are following Lord Chaitanya or Madhava Charas, but we are maximum interested not in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, but 1st and 2nd canto.
Yes, we are interested in 10th canto when we become qualified to understand 10th canto. Right? And how do we develop the qualification? We develop the qualification when the passion from the body is gone. When we transcend the mode of passion and become situated in the mode of goodness, then we become qualified. Because you see, as long as the mode of passion is there, passion and ignorance is there, the tendency will be there to enjoy the material nature. And as long as we have this tendency to enjoy ourselves, we will not be able to understand the enjoyment aspect of Krishna. And we run the risk of trying to imitate Krishna's enjoyment. Right? So that's why the qualification is Padama Nirmat Saranam Satam. When one becomes totally free from envy, when one becomes sat, what is that state? That state is a state of goodness. Satam. Satam means one who is situated in the mode of goodness. Those who are situated in sattva. And this sattva, although it's qualifying us to understand or hear properly Srimad Bhagavatam, but it will actually transcend even the mode of goodness and take us to Shuddha Sattva, Vishuddha Sattva. So as long as we have the mode of passion in the, what do we have to do? We have to use that passion in spreading the glory of the Lord. And that is what is Sankirtan. Okay, you have passion, use it in spreading Krishna consciousness. Right? And then Prabhupada used to say, service now, samadhi later. When you become old, when your body is free from passion, don't even have any energy, you just can't even move, okay, then sit down and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Alright? But until then, render service. Use up your passion in Krishna's service. But as long as we have the passion, we have to use it. And don't artificially enter into... Because, you see, what will happen? Somebody may think that... His body is full of passion, but he is imitating the Mahabhagavata. Right? And he wants to sit down and chant 64 rounds a day. Yeah. Imagine Radha Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Meditate on Radha Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. They may do that. But then one day, during the evening arati, he comes to a temple and sees beautiful girls coming here. And then what happens? His mind goes after the beautiful girls. And then the inevitable may happen. He'll fall down. He'll run away with somebody's doctor. Somebody's wife. Therefore, just engage your passion in service. Also in the association of devotees. If we remain in the association of devotees, the devotee association gives us protection. If one is alone, he is in a very, very dangerous situation. Maya is extremely strong. The personalities like Haridas Thakur only can avoid this dangerous onslaughts of mind. So play it safe. Stay in the association of devotees. That's why Prabhupada was so emphatic. No solitary bhajan, nirjan bhajan. We are not qualified to be bhajan anandis. We are goshti anandis. Goshti anandi means we are deriving our joy of rendering devotional service in the association of devotees. Otherwise, durbhara in indriya grama. The urges of the senses are durbhara, impossible to overcome. But we are seeing that when devotees are in the association of devotees, they are safe. So, service now, samadhi later. So, continue to serve. Samadhi will come, Krishna will bestow. When he is pleased, he will offer that. And ultimately, that association of Krishna and his devotees will come in the spiritual sky. That's the real association. What's the point if somebody is just meditating on Radha Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan? And then after some time he falls down. So what's the point in wasting so much time and energy in that? This, when he's fallen, everything is lost. It's better to be a simple devotee and safely situated than being an exalted devotee and unsafely situated. Okay, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Srila Prabhupada ki.